Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Tell you what, we've spoken more about the Logies this year than I think we have collectively last 8 years of working together, Jess. But I think a lot of people were just excited that Larry Emder, after like 20 plus years in the Australian television industry, got the Gold Logie
on Sunday.
It's
almost shocking that he hasn't won the Gold Logie before. Like,
well, he's on, he does the Channel 7's, I think it's Sunrise on Channel 7.
The morning show.
The morning show. He does Chase, Chase Australia, which is a great show. Seems like a lovely bloke.
He used
to
do The Price is Right. Oh, remember when his Price is Right days? So good.
Yesterday we were talking on the show about a promise he made up on the stage that he followed through with the following morning. Let's have a listen.
I was so convinced that I wasn't going to win this that I said that if I did win it, I would have all the nominees' initials tattooed on my ass live tomorrow morning. So that's, we'll see you on the morning show tomorrow, right? Sorry, Sylvia, I know we had some fancy hotel room time planned, but looks like I'll be doing squats all night.
So we spoke about it yesterday. We had people call up and say that they had certain things.
Some very interesting tattoos came through yesterday.
Tattooed on their bum. And Jess, we were hearing from all these listeners that were saying all of these things they had tattooed on their bum. And I was going to play a piece of audio. There's something you said.
Oh, what did I say? You said
after we were talking about that he followed through.
Yeah.
And it was just a thought that you'd had. So let's listen closely. This was yesterday on the show, about 24 hours ago. As two people with no rear end tattoos, we can only dream of a world like this.
It inspired me. Yeah. It inspired me to want to get one. I knew you'd bring
it up. I'll play it one more time. Just listen right at the end there. As two people with no rear end tattoos, we can only dream of a world like this.
It inspired me. Yeah. It inspired me to want to get one. Yep.
It inspired you to want to get one, buddy. Now, it didn't inspire me to want to get one, but I'm here as a mate of yours. Mm-hmm. I want to be a facilitator of dreams.
I can't whip my bum out on the radio.
It's not telly.
I know.
Jess. Is it, so have you, you've talked about wanting your of husband, let me get there. Mm-hmm. You've talked about wanting, was it your husband's initials or name on your
either
bum?
Or.
What would you prefer an
AQ? A little AQ or just a full name?
Full name, Akshay Kazi.
Well, not Kazi, just Akshay.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
What about my cutie, which is what you call him?
I can't do that.
I think an AQ could be fun.
Yeah.
What if we get that done this week?
I don't know that I should.
Why not?
What if it's like a bad omen, you know? Like what if it ends up making us break up?
Larry Emder got Andy Lee, Robert Irwin, Julia Morris's initials tattooed on his bum. They're people that he's not, like, you know, married to.
Yeah.
This is the man of your dreams that you've known for coming up on 7 years. You've been in love pretty much since the moment you laid eyes on each other.
I was ready to get the tattoo a week in. I was.
Well, here we are 6.5 years later down the track. And I feel like I have the connections that we can organise that by the end of this week.
I, first of all, don't know if you have the connections.
Second of all, of
the Tim and Jess show, who has the better badonkadonk?
Just because I've got
that
the...
That would be yours.
Yeah, but you don't spray paint a Ferrari.
Okay.
You know?
You do a Suzuki. Yeah,
you don't put on mag rims and stupid little decals. No. You save that for... It's classic. It's classy by itself.
What? I appreciate the fact that you've suggested getting my husband's initials and not yours.
I would never force you to do that. But you said you had desire to get your husband's
initials. I have always
initials.
Wanted to do it, yeah.
A little AQ. Would you go bum?
Well, it's our
middle bum.
It's our anniversary this weekend, so maybe I could get that as a gift for him.
How would he feel?
I don't know. I actually think he might hate it. He doesn't really like my tattoo that's on my ankle. But I got that before we met. So I just don't know how.
Not a
he
big
would...
fan of men owning your body is my only thing.
Yeah, but imagine I get this as a gift for him.
Yeah.
And then I present it to him on Saturday.
Yeah.
On our actual anniversary.
Well, we know he doesn't listen to the radio show, so I think we could completely fly under the radar.
He
and get
would
this
have
done.
No idea.
Yeah.
And then if I present it to him and he goes, "That's terrible."
Look, like, can I give you 24 hours to think on it? And tomorrow on the show, you can say, yes, I'm going to go with it. Maybe we can call him and see what he's feeling.
I think let's call him. If he is like, absolutely yes. I mean, not that I have to ask his permission, but I feel like I need to ask.
But a yes would make it easier.
It is his initials. It feels weird to not have his permission to all do right. So.
So just you. Give you 24 hours to sit on it.
Let's do it.
Getting your husband's initials tattooed on your bum.
God!
Maybe, look, I've got a few ideas to help you get there.
Right.
Maybe you need someone alongside you. Maybe a listener getting their partner's initials on their bum as well.
Yeah.
So maybe, well, look, 24 hours. We'll touch base tomorrow.
This is Tim and Jess.
This weekend took part of something that took me racing back to my primary school years in particular. Maybe early, like year 7 high school, I was still getting involved with this.
Right.
And we spoke about this last week with, you know, skills that don't carry over from your childhood years to your adult life.
Are you still talking about your rollerblading ability?
Well, yeah. So rollerblading is something. Turns out when you don't rollerblade for 22 years, you can be a little bit rusty.
Yeah.
I used to do the speed skating round. I used to be in the final three when it would go to the king, go to the queen, go to the jack. We've talked about Rollaway Skate Center at the moment.
I mean, we weren't at Rollaway Skate Center for very long. I feel like if we had spent a few hours there, you would have been back in the speed skates.
So, but yeah. 22 years between rollerblading, I was like, weird. I thought I'd just still have just picked this up. Like, I feel like I'm the same height, weight, all those things.
People say it's like riding a bike, right?
Yeah, except all the wheels are on your feet. But I did do something this weekend where, and again, when you relive these childhood games, essentially, it's the thrill of reliving it, right?
What did you play?
Foursquare.
Oh my God, I haven't played Foursquare in years.
Handball.
Downball.
Whatever you call it. Handball, Foursquare. We used to just call it handball.
Yeah.
But my niece, Nyla, she's 10.
Yeah. Prime Foursquare age.
Yeah, and she was like, hey, we're just hanging out in the backyard at my mother and father-in-law's. She's like, anyone want to play Foursquare? And I was like, excuse me? Kids are still playing handball or Foursquare?
Yes. And remind me of the squares.
So there's the king, the queen, the jack, and the dunce.
Yes,
and
dunce. Want to be dunce.
Yeah, if you're dunce. So we only had four of us. So even if you lost, lost in king, queen, or jack, you get sent to dunce, and then you work your way up, and you want to be the king, right? Because that means you get to serve at the start. But the kicker was, and we had so many kids playing Foursquare or handball, if you were in dunce and you got out, then you're off the grid, back of the line,
and the next
person's in. And you lived in fear of getting, finally, you say you're front of the line, you get invited in, you're dunce, and then you're out straight away.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And there were certain kids that you didn't want to play against because you knew that they were going to be in king for the long haul. Like, you know, for me, it was Jack O'Shea. He was always real good.
Michael McKenna for me.
Yeah.
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 I still think about it. And as I was playing it on Saturday afternoon, I thought, geez, if Michael could only see me now. And yeah, turns out I have retained a bit of that muscle memory, getting down far lower than a man of my age as a crisp 31-year-old should be.
Did
getting.
Did you use a tennis ball? One of those like non-tennis
ball
ones?
It was slightly bigger than a tennis ball. We didn't have a tennis ball.
Right.
So we just found like a bouncy ball. Yeah. And wow, we did it bring out joy in me. And
we should play.
I think we should.
We're going away with some friends in a few weeks. Should we do a dabble tournament?
I mean, we are going to, like, you know, a couple of wineries, eat some cheese, some nice food, and then in between that, all right, guys, a bit of dabble. And there's six of us, so that means
Whoever's out can look after your son, Jack.
Yeah, he is coming. So
the rest of
us. He's not invited to play?
I mean, I don't know how well he'd do.
We did put him in the square because we were like, we need a fifth. So we put my one-year-old in, and he lost first round. So embarrassing. Back of the line. Back of the line. But weird that muscle memory kind of took over. And I imagine if you're listening, there might be things in your life where you try it again. Like you're saying, it's like riding a bike where muscle memory takes over. And for me, not rollerblading, handball, Foursquare. Like Kevin Rudd.
See, and you don't need to be that much of an athlete, clearly.
Oh. Unnecessary. I'm reliving some fun glory years and you bring it.
It's not the super sportiest of sports, is it?
All right. I'm sorry, Nina Kennedy, Australian pole vaulting champion, athlete over there. Shut your mouth. Ariane Titmus. Jess Fox. Yeah, you know all these athletes.
Hurt people.
You're the poor man's Jess Fox.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
I want to talk about dogs and cats.
Sure.
Well, I guess pets. Do you know how much money pets are costing Australian households by damages?
Honestly, if you look at my cat Penny, thousands, in the thousands.
I mean, she has had a poor vet year. But that's damages internally, I guess. I'm talking about damages to your household.
Oh, I mean, she doesn't physically damage the house, which thankfully is the case because we are renters.
Yeah.
It's more our furniture. Like, she leaves the household alone. It's just my bed, the couch.
Has she scratched up the couch?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping that my husband hasn't realized, because it was like when we moved in together, we got rid of my couch and kept his.
Yeah.
Because it was in much better condition for obvious reasons. And now since we've been living together, he like it's very much scratched up in many spots. I just kind of throw blankets on it.
So this
in
is
hopes
like,
that he won't notice.
This would be one of those things on Marketplace where it'd be like great couch, few cat scratches.
Yeah, fair like, condition.
Flip the cushion, be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Jeez. That's yeah. Apparently, $222 million annually for dog owners and $153 million annually for cat-owning households a year. So we're in the hundreds of millions for just cats and dogs alone about the damages they're causing. Apparently, the average household has about $50 of damage a year that has a dog or a cat. And if you have multiple, you can add that up to $500 a year.
I actually saw a TikTok a few weeks ago of an Apple employee saying that they get a set amount of screens in each year for repair because cats bite the corners of the screens.
What?
And it's so regular that they like have a clause for it. So you can't actually, it's not covered in your Mac insurance.
All right.
If your cat nibbles on the corner of your Mac. That's how
never
often it's
happened. That.
And my cat Penny does it all the time. She'll just be like gnawing at it.
Man, you're really not good at selling cats to non-cat
She's
people.
She's very cute.
I mean, you're one of your cats, Chandler, who I was a big fan of. He got some curtains and a rental once, and that was a fair bit of dosh.
It wasn't that he scratched them. It was that he got so much fur on them that we lost part of our bond because
they're like these weren't white.
Yeah.
Why is it like a Balayage curtain where it starts red and turns white?
So much fur on those curtains.
I'm trying to remember anything specifically. The only thing that I can remember is maybe when my dog went through a bit of a digging phase.
Oh, yeah.
And like sometimes you'd have to like get some mesh or you'd have to end up buying soil.
Remember that backyard that you just had? It was just whole city?
Oh, Queensland.
Yes.
Yeah, she was so hot in Queensland. She was like, I'm just getting the sand. I'm getting the soil here. It's too cold. 5223295. What's your pet destroyed?
Mm-hmm.
We've spoken about this a few times on the show. We've had people call up and tell us about the damage that their pets have caused. And it's always interesting hearing it.
Yeah.
Because you, as someone who either A, isn't a pet owner, you go, why would you? That's so bad. But as someone who is a pet owner, you go, yeah, I get it. I've been there. All right. Well, let's get into it. How much damage has your pet caused? Sherry from Leopold, what's your answer to that?
Hello. Oh, lots. About $750 worth of my prescription glasses. So we were having a lovely little nap on the couch together and he secretly must have got my glasses off whilst I was asleep. And when I woke up, they were just in a billion pieces on the floor.
Oh, Sherry, there's nothing worse.
Oh, well, not when you can't see.
Yeah.
So not only are you literally the blind walking around.
Yeah.
But now you go, you can't even get your glasses to be like, well, let's have a look at the real damage here because it's gone. So, like, please don't tell me they were like, were they like polarized? Were they?
They were just, you know, my everyday
life glasses.
Watching TV, doing your work at work on the computer.
It can take like a couple of weeks for new glasses to come in as well, Sherry, right?
Yeah, 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh.
Very, very annoying. And, you know, I was probably napping before a good movie started. No movie.
But we love them, and that's why we have pets.
What's
right?
The ad? Should have gone to Specsavers or something, whatever that is. Yeah, should have. All right. Sorry about that, Sherry. I think Olivia is who we're going to speak to next from Bannockburn. Olivia, how much damage have your pets caused?
So one was a puppy, and she chewed one out of every single pair of my shoes.
It's like she knew, Olivia.
Just one.
Like just, oh, if I chew one, then Mum can't wear these.
That's right.
And
I was away on holiday, and I only had the ones that I had.
Oh no!
With me left because my husband came to pick me up from the airport, and she chewed him in the time he was gone.
Oh no! That is. That's expensive. That's like when you add up all those different pairs of shoes, that's hundreds of dollars there, Liv.
Yes.
Ah, well, good dog. All right.
How's the other one though, Liv?
Oh, you got two dogs.
Five.
All right. You got five dogs?
No, the other one is five.
Oh, it is five. Jeez, I was so scared. I was thinking of the shoes.
Think of the shoes.
Deanne from Torquay, you've got too many Dachshunds.
Dachshunds?
They've caused you a bit of grief with some damages they've done.
I think I have spent about $1 trillion. They've wrecked the carpet in our bedroom, pretty much the carpet in every room. They've peed on or chewed a little bit. The day we had fly screens installed, they ran through straight through. The guy hadn't even finished putting the door up. And I was like, holy shit. And they're eating near our front door, like the frame around the front door.
I've got a few friends that have Dachshunds, and they are intense little sausage dogs.
They really are.
I've read something that they have the most incidences of any dog, I believe, because they think they're like one along sausage. Who's going to beat me? And they'll just pick fights with doors and carpets. And now, do you own this house or are you renting?
We own it, thank God. Imagine if we rented it.
I actually just started sweating thinking it was a rental.
Oh, you never get your bond back. No, definitely not.
They'd be like, can we come for an inspection? You'd be like, actually, you can't. You can't get through the door. The door's been chewed in half. So, all right. Feel for you, Deanne. That's awful. Are you hot? Or is it just
I'm hot. This is he. Now, if that's not an ad to get a cat, I don't know what is.
Yeah, fair enough. Meow, meow. This is Tim and Jess. Ladies and gentlemen, exude confidence and style in a Tiguan from Rex Corral Volkswagen. The rag from krock.com.au. The latest news. The latest fashion. This is what's trending.
Tim, the Edinburgh Fringe Festival has wrapped up, and with it, I don't know if you know, I've actually invited Will in from the newsroom because
I did know. I can see him.
He loves a joke, Will.
Do you love a joke?
He loves a joke.
Why do you sound so surprised?
No, but they're hilarious.
Can you tell Tim the joke that you told us all at lunch yesterday?
I'll try and tell it better than I did at lunch.
No, all right, go.
I was telling my sister that I can drive a car made out of spaghetti. And she was like, no, you can't do that. But you should have seen her face when I drove past her.
It's good, right?
Jess will laugh.
Why don't you laugh?
At anything. Jess will laugh at anything.
This is why I brought Will in, because you don't laugh at a lot of these things. But they've released the top 15 jokes from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Which is similar to the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Yeah, and I wanted to run them past you. At least the top three, okay?
Go for it. Geelong Comedy Festival is coming up, so maybe some comedians on the up and come could start thinking about this.
This is what has been trending. These jokes apparently are the best from the Edinburgh Fringe, which is the best of the best in the world.
Right.
So,
and now this really rides on your delivery, right?
In third position, right? This is the third best joke. Ate horse at a restaurant once. Wasn't great. Starter was all right, but the main was dreadful.
What?
The main? Like the horse's
mane? Oh.
Okay, that took you guys far too long.
I think I misheard you at the start, if I'm being honest.
That was from Alex Kitson. This one from Alex Snook came in at number two. I've been taking salsa lessons for months, but I just don't feel like I'm progressing. It's just one step forward, two steps back. Because salsa, Tim.
Yeah, I know. It's good with dips. Yeah. I get it. I'm not an idiot. Okay.
Well, this one, maybe you like this one. This is the one that took out the crowd. Will liked it. It's good.
Yeah, because Will likes bad jokes.
Mark Simons has taken out the crown for the funniest joke at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. This was his joke, okay? This is the finally... He's placed ninth, sixth, and second in previous years.
Well,
but he's never taken out the gong. He's taken it out this year with this one. I was going to sail around the globe in the world's smallest ship, but I bottled it. Will liked that one. See? He loved it.
I didn't realize comedians were just doing setup.
They're just doing little bits, yeah.
Little bits. I thought it was
they must have to do like a little bit to submit for this... at part of the festival. But yeah, I'll send you the full list. If you want to check out the full list, you can see it at krock.com.au. Yep. It's where you'll find everything that's trending right now.
Yeah, thank you for getting me in for that.
Yeah. I think I've got a chicken joke, but I don't ever remember how it goes.
Is this part of the joke?
No, this is my bad Go memory. On. Why did the forgetful interrupting chicken cross the road?
Why?
Because! Okay. Did I just win the best joke at the Edinburgh Fringe?
You didn't write
no,
it.
No, I was so win. Much better first.
That was excellent.
I think the whole point is you're supposed to have written it.
Well, write it down.
Okay.
Give me 5 minutes. I'll just need to... I'll play the song and on the other side, I'll write it down. We'll send it in. Will, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
Because! Sorry, there it is again. Out of absolute nowhere.
Yeah, that's funny.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
Tim, I want to talk about a bloke that has snuck onto not one, but two flights in 2 days.
Flights, planes.
Flights.
Notoriously really challenging to get through.
You got
to
show your ID, you got to show passports, tickets. You got to show tickets, absolutely. Well, this man fancied himself a free holiday. So he travelled to Stockholm from Munich Airport, right? Cleared security somehow despite not having...
Hang on, he went international.
Yeah.
Went to Sweden.
Yeah, from Munich Airport.
In Germany.
So despite not having a boarding pass or any flight documents, he was able to get past security and then he snuck onto a plane headed to Hamburg.
Back to Germany.
Yeah, so went from Munich to Hamburg.
Oh, what?
Yeah, that was the first flight.
You said Stockholm. I'm so confused.
Yeah, well, the first flight was he went to Hamburg. And crew realised he had no tickets and they had him removed, but it was not until they arrived at Hamburg Airport. He then went on to Stockholm from there, snuck onto a second flight. This time there was an empty seat, so the crew didn't realise that he wasn't supposed to be there. And again, made it through security, didn't have a boarding pass.
How are you getting past the people at the gate? That's what I want to know.
This is it, right?
Or is he lining up with people that have like several tickets and he's just like, I'm the fifth child.
I mean,
he's a grown man.
You could maybe fathom him doing it once, but doing it twice in 2 days, like...
Well, for security reasons, that's terrible.
Absolutely.
You don't want to...
Very much being, well, the security at both airports is being investigated as to how someone can easily bypass all the security to get onto a flight that they are not booked onto. He's also been fined and was sentenced to 93 days in jail because, he's broken a whole bunch of laws. It just got me thinking, though, like sneaking in places.
Should we be talking about it?
Well, you can stay anonymous if you want to. But 52232...
It's not about putting your name to it. It's like, are we giving people ideas of how to sneak into places?
52232955, where have you snuck into? Maybe it was a concert.
You don't strike me as a rule breaker, though, Jess. You're a goody two-shoes. There's no way you snuck into anything.
I've snuck into lectures.
That is... You're such a badass.
I know, right?
Wow.
I went to a couple of my mates' uni lectures over the years just because they were like, oh, I've got a class. I'm like, oh, I'll come with you.
That's not sneaking in. They can barely get their own students in those lectures, Jess. They'll take anybody.
That's fair.
The cleaner will come in and they go, no, sit down. Just try, come on. So we've got some speeds.
It's not always a felony.
That is...
We may not get a call.
I feel bad for you.
But 52232955... Where have you snuck into?
We've got above average Mike from Heighton, friend of the show. Above average Mike, where have you snuck into?
It was about 20 years ago now, and a friend of mine and myself went to Melbourne, and we thought we'd jump, you know, go to the MCG, rah-rah-rah-rah. And we realised the tours were too expensive because we didn't have a lot of money back then. So we're in the gift shop, and as it happens, a tour decided to go past the turnstile. So we thought, hello, let's do this. So we jumped the turnstile and jumped on the back of the tour. Luckily for us, they'd only sort of stopped at one part of the MCG because next time the speaker turned around, he just looked a little bit a bit confused as to why there was two extra people, but we just acted like we'd always been there. And then, got about a half an hour MCG tour out of it. And then towards the end, I think this guy just realised that we might have just jumped on board. As we were walking down the tunnel, he sort of said, look, guys, you take that door to your right and you're back out to, you know, the gift shop or whatever.
Oh, my God, he helped you out.
No, we decided to hang back at the back of the crowd and turn left and ended up in the change rooms for the Vic Bush Rangers. So we were raiding the fridges, taking photos of stuff like that. It was awesome. It was great.
Mike.
I'm understanding why you're above average, Mike.
Yeah, just a little bit better than everyone else. Mike, I know that tour guides are very they know their group, and if they see any stragglers, like if you've been overseas, they go, no, you turn away, stop listening to this fact that I'm doing about the Colosseum, actually go away.
You didn't pay for this,
please leave. So yeah, Mike.
Wow, not only snuck onto the tour, but snuck into additional rooms that the tour group didn't get to see.
I'm sure security is a lot better now, Mike. all right, we've had what you were hoping for, Jess.
Yes.
An anonymous call.
I love when people call this show and trust us like this, Tim.
Okay.
But Anonymous, you have an amazing story from 1995.
Yes, I do.
Tell me about it. What did you sneak into?
Okay, my best friend and I, at the time, her name was Christy. She could not be anonymous because she now lives in London. she and I snuck into the Pearl Jam concert at the Maya Melbourne Music Bowl.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Because we didn't have tickets, so we thought we would just go and sit at, it's an outdoor concert, so we thought we'd sit on the outside and listen to the concert. We're like, and anyway, that was a good plan. But then there were police forces and everything and lots of police patrolling. But then the crowd built. And then it turned out there'd be quite a few of us. And we started rocking the fence because it was like a cyclone wire fence. So we started rocking the fence and then shaking the fence. And then we managed to pull the fence down. And then we scrambled over the fence. Past the police horses into the venue.
Police horses.
And then we arrived at the back, and then we're like all this sort of the rush of us arrived at the back, and then
they can't catch us all.
Pretty much.
They can't catch us all. That's it. We're in.
It is that kind of mentality. And then they're like, anyway, here's daughter. I mean, seeing Pearl Jam live is pretty special. The fact that I can't believe you outran a police horse.
Tim, what Anonymous has not gotten to just yet is you got a special shout-out, didn't you, Anonymous?
Yeah. So someone told the band what had happened, and then Eddie Vedder stopped the concert, and he said, okay, everyone, I'm just doing a shout-out to everyone that's just come in through the back. You are my heroes. and this next song is for you. Welcome.
What was the song? Do you remember?
No, I think it was...
For the sake of the story, let's say it's Better Man.
Yes, I think it was Better Man.
Yeah, wow. All right, Anonymous. I understand why you want to stay anonymous.
Yeah, and then it turns out the next night on the news, we were caught on camera, like the camera crews there had filmed us as the one scrambling over the fence.
Oh, my God!
And so we got busted on the news the next night. Anyway, that was quite...
Oh, no.
You have lived a life. I'm busting into lectures and Anonymous is busting into Pearl Jam.
I don't think anyone was concerned, Jess, that you wouldn't be the coolest person in this conversation. But Anonymous, we appreciate
don't
your call.
Don't laugh at that.
No, it was worth it. It was absolutely hilarious.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.